having to, like, bend my spine at weird angles to get into a car.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just lean the seat back. But I feel like I always have to kind of lean the seat back a notch further than most to fit my damn head in your car, so...
You're a taller fella. A man of some height.
That's what they call me. A man with some height.
Yeah, that's what your corporate bio says.
Right, yeah. You go onto the intranet. There's a weird curve on the route in front of the Moscone Center.
Okay.
It was not there last time.
All right.
Just be aware.
I'll try not to steer to where I was used to steering and kill people.
I mean...
I still try.
You know...
I can't make any guarantees.
Just do what you gotta do. Like, these people... That guy probably wants to die. Some of these people have been dead inside for years. This guy.
Oh, yeah. That's a husk of a human. That shirt.
Jesus.
Loafers. Might as well just spray paint on his forehead. End me.
End me.
Stop this suffering.
End me or let me play racquetball for the rest of my days. And then a bunch of stuff, I don't know, like the Chili's up here, or the Chevy's up here closed, and it's now a Fogo de Chao.
I do feel like that's an upgrade.
Yeah,
Fogo totally. De Chao is dope.
But Fogo de Chao is not like...
It's not affordable.
Well, yeah. It's
a pricier place.
Yeah, certainly, it's a pricier place. But also, it's not like a place where, like, oh, we're having an impromptu lunch, we need to get some people together in a space.
No.
Like, Fogo de Chao is like a commitment to food.
At meat, specifically.
Yeah. The meat commitment is, like, the type that ruins the rest of a day. Or, like, you go get a fucking Super Chevy's and a couple of enchiladas or whatever. Like, you know, you're going to bounce back. You're going to be productive.
I feel like Chevy's have been closing with some rapidness.
I bet, yeah, I bet.
I feel like that chain is not doing well.
Probably not.
Is the one in Santa Rosa still there?
I assume so. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, it is. I don't know that. But
it's a true test.
Yeah. I guess all the G&G markets are closing.
Yes, they are. I think Safeway bought them.
Yeah.
So now there may just be two Safeways on the east side.
I can't imagine. Well, maybe. I don't know. But, like, they're...
Doesn't that sound like just the kind of dumb thing that would happen, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Seen people, locals on Facebook, bemoaning the end of G&G. Like, alright.
My mother was, in fact, bemoaning the fall of G&G just last night at dinner.
Yeah. I was like, you know, it was okay.
It's a market.
It seemed like they never had the brands of the things I wanted.
I know you're all about those brands.
You know I love brands, but also, like...
Who among us doesn't?
Hey, I need some fucking ibuprofen. And they were like, I don't know, we got a Chinese deli over here. You want some food? Like, well, yeah, I mean, some orange chicken would be nice. But for real, though, how many brands of toothpaste do you have? I need a specific one that I like. And they were like, no, how about this holistic one? And
I was like, there's some organ poultices.
Yeah, like, no, that's not at all what I'm looking for. It's why I bristle a little bit when people suggest things like Small Business Saturday.
Wait, who in God's name is suggesting that?
Like, oh, Black Friday, forget it. You want to do Small Business Saturday. Support local business. And I'm like, okay, that's noble. Do local businesses have any of the things I am currently looking for?
Some of them might.
This specific brand of sunglasses.
No, you gotta go Sunglass Hut for that.
And I had to go to the internet for that because they don't... They don't make them.
Why are they so special?
I needed a very specific brand and model.
Okay. For your face?
For
your
not,
eyes?
Not for my face.
Okay.
For
another face?
For another face.
Okay.
A doctor I know.
Okay.
Oh,
your former client.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that you two are keeping up.
Oh, no. This is going to be... He's... He doesn't know that... He doesn't know what's about to happen to him. He will only know when it's too late.
Well, you know what's best.
Yeah. Or like, hey, I need a 4-port USB 3 PCI Express card.
Right. Yeah, I don't think the GNG market's going to have that for you.
Right, yeah. I don't think there is a computer store in Petaluma anymore. If there is, I can't imagine...
There used to be this really dirtbaggy one,
yeah.
I feel like, on the boulevard.
Yeah.
Is that gone?
Yeah, I think that's gone.
That's probably for the best. That place always seemed like they were fucking... Like they were running human trafficking operations out of the back of
it. It was that type of grime, for sure. There is a classic small video game store in Cotati. They just moved from Runner Park, I guess, that I thought about going to. I keep thinking about going to, honestly. But I look at their Facebook page and they're posting prices and stuff like that, and it's a lot of stuff that's like, it's significantly more expensive than copies of the game can be found online.
Right.
And, like, I get they've got overhead and rent and all this other stuff, but like,
at some point, the local video game business ceased to be a useful thing except for breaking street dates.
Sure.
And just not supporting GameStop. Like, those were the only two reasons you still rent to
places
like that.
I don't know if they get new stuff in there, if they strictly deal in old stuff. I don't actually know.
Well, the old stuff places are different, but even still, like, I don't know. I feel like the demand for that kind of place is pretty low these days. What with the internet and all.
Right. But, it was just one of those things where it's like, if I was looking for a copy of Chrono Trigger, like, I could find it significantly cheaper on the internet than I can at this store. And it's cool if they have one. I could go get one right now.
Right.
Or not right now, but, you know. And there's value in that. And I get that they have costs. They have rent to pay and all this other stuff. But at some point, they are offering the same product for more money. So unless I have a theoretical or genuinely vested interest in keeping a place like that open, it's really hard to justify... Like, just spending more money to support this business that I don't know if they're that great or not.
Right.
I don't know. Like, it's... It's weird with that stuff. Like, yeah, certainly, if I was way into produce, then maybe I would want local produce. I don't know. I have specific needs.
Mm-hmm. Kind of needs that cannot be met by your small business Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. If I was looking for a hoop skirt, small business Saturday has my fucking back.
It's funny you should mention that. I was just thinking the other day I needed a hoop skirt.
Well, I can name... And by name, I mean point you in the general direction of probably about 10 places that would be likely to have such a thing.
That's why I love my hometown, man.
Yeah.
Always got my back.
Hoop skirts and old-timey writing desks. And unique-looking old cans. For you to put on a shelf and look at and go, this can is so old.
Is that really a thing you can buy somewhere in Petaluma?
Sure, like fucking old road sign. You know, there's a zillion antique shops down there now.
There are, that's true.
I guarantee one of them's like got some old food can that is like very old. And you look at it and go, this is an antique, this is old timey, look at this. This is the perfect accent to this room I'm trying to decorate.
I think I realized a while ago that while I know that there are many, many antique stores in Petaluma, I have been into maybe a grand total of 3 of them. Over the course of the entire time I even started living there and left and came back.
We went into one not that long ago, bought a bunch of records for slightly too much money.
Yeah, that's all records now.
Like, we went around, we picked out a bunch of records, and I bought one about trucking. And it was like how to talk on the CB radio. It's great. Worth every penny. But like we brought them up, and then the woman at the counter had to call the owner and go like, okay, Melanie's Greatest Hits, it looks okay. I don't know, the record looks all right. And he was just like rattling off prices. It was like the fucking most insane thing.
Why
like,
did you not just have prices on the items? You put them in there.
Right. Because he probably just takes in so many records that who has time to establish what something is actually worth.
Goodness.
But apparently this dude just has it fucking cold locked in his head.
Yeah, he knows the exact worth of
Melanie's Greatest Hits. Okay, that's I mean it's a double album, right? Yeah, so $19. What? You should be giving me $2 to take this out of your fucking store.
Christ.
Might be here for the PSX. No, no one is here for PSX. PSX is not in this town.
Sony is barely here for PSX.
Yeah. PSX
is
somewhere else.
LA?
Anaheim, yeah. LA.
Close enough. That is an LA-like area.
It's LA-esque. Portillo's adjacent. Drake must be thrilled.
Yeah, at some point, Anaheim stopped being the place where Disneyland and the Ducks and Angels are, and just became, in my head, the place where Portillo's is.
Yep.
That's it. That's maybe an unreasonable stance to take, but damn it, I'm taking it.
Nope. Yeah, that's... The last two times I've been to Anaheim, it was to go there. Spends more time staring at spreadsheets.
I suppose that's a way to spend an evening. I'm gonna go home and eat some Indian food and play some Watch Dogs, I think.
I need to fit in some time to write that review. Alongside thousand other things happening.
Yeah, there's a whole lot going on in these next couple weeks here.
There and then flying home?
No, driving. Just driving.
How long is that drive?
That's like a day's drive. Oh. Like, not even. Probably takes about roughly the same amount of time it takes to drive to L.A. Ah. Yeah, my older aunt moved in with my younger aunt, and since they are both on the East Coast now and I have not seen either of them in a few years, I figured I should go do the good nephew thing and say hey.
Yeah.
They're nice people.
It's nice when relatives are nice.
Yeah. It's not a chore to hang out with them.
Yeah. I don't really see relatives outside of Christmas at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, well, there are a few things. I guess I saw some people a couple of times throughout the year this year, but that was more just happenstance. Like, oh, they're having a thing at their house, I guess.
Right.
I will say one of the things about getting married is that you are suddenly invited to way more family things that you were able to just skip out on beforehand.
So they figure they can double their attendance now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is specifically the exact reason why I will never get married.
It's a good reason to think.
Yeah.
That's the road you want to go down.
You know, I really waited, you know, almost the other stuff I could kind of get past, but that was the one. I don't know, I'm so disconnected from most of my family at this point that doesn't ever come up. Like, close, immediate dad and mom side of the family, I'm fine with, but anyone beyond that, I have not seen any of those people in like a decade plus.
Yeah.
They seem to like it that way, and I like it that way, so we have a mutual understanding.
It's good work if you can get it. That was there.
Was it?
When was the last time? But I guess you came for E3, right?
Yes.
It was there.
Okay. Yeah. I must have missed it then.
Yeah.
Well, then it seems like nothing has happened.
Yeah, no, no.
Saw you guys were talking about Kenilworth Junior High when you were doing the...
Oh, right.
The Google Maps stuff. So they built a new school, right? Like there is.
They did.
A,
there's okay. Somewhere on the east side. I think it's actually behind the G&G.
Okay.
Somewhere around there is where like New Kenilworth is.
God, that old school was such a piece of shit.
It was really fucking terrible.
No one I know who went there was happy about it.
Principal was a dick.
I think that's the school where Winona Ryder famously got gay bashed when she went there because she had short hair. And some girl, like, shoved her into a locker and called her a slur, which famously got her to move over to the junior high I went to.
Ah.
I only know that story because it's told in a... That woman years and years later came up to her, said she was a big fan, and Winona Ryder told her to fuck off.
I heard that, yeah. No, I actually got shoved into those same lockers.
Yeah.
And probably actually called some kind of slur, now that I think about it. Don't crash into this car.
Nah.
Or, you know, whatever. Crash in the car.
Yeah.
The main difference, though, is that those lockers were no longer being used when I went to school there.
Mm.
Because the class before me glued them all shut. And rather than fix them or replace them, they just said, okay, everyone gets 2 copies of every book, and you're gonna... Or, like, the idea was there'll be twice as many books. There'll be books in the classroom, and then... You will have copies of the books to leave at home.
Yeah.
But I seem to remember having a duffel bag full of all my books that I had to carry around with me all the time. So maybe in practice it didn't quite work that way. But
the split was just so insane to me because, you know, Petaluma High and Casa Grande, though rivals, were fairly equivalent schools, I think, in terms of general, you know, favorability ratings. Like, I think some people, most people seem to even prefer Casa.
You know, when I look at, like, my high school, so that was around the time that I kind of started hanging out at Petaluma High.
Yeah.
Like, we would cut class and go to the other high school because I was friends with someone who was dating someone who went to Petaluma High.
I did that a few times to go to Casa.
And every time we went to Petaluma High, or, like, it seemed like the more and more people I met who went to Petaluma High, the more it seemed like that was a better school for the type of shit I was into.
Right.
Whereas, like, Casa, the years that I was going to high school, was full of fucking preppy fucking dicks and just total fucking assholes.
It kind of went the other way when I was there.
Okay.
Like, Petaluma High was definitely run rampant with fucking preppy dicks, and then most of the people I knew at Casa, like, there were certainly those people, but I don't know, I felt like I was a lot friendlier with people I knew who went to Casa.
I feel like, the years I was going to high school was also, those were the years when, like, grunge happened.
Right.
On a national scale. And Petaluma High was very much like, we are into bands and music and things. And then I just remember fucking some football fucking class president dick being stoked about getting Van Halen tickets.
Yeah.
In 1992. Or 1991. And I was like, what the fucking fuck? Fuck these people. Maybe it's just a grass is greener situation, but fucking,
But either way, it felt like, you know, there were times when either was a fairly favorable place, whereas, like, at junior high level, like, Petaluma Junior High sucked, but it sucked in the way that every school kind of sucks, whereas Kenilworth seemed like an actively caustic experience for anyone who went there.
Like, all the gym teachers were super prideful about some award they had won, so they used that as an excuse to ride all the kids super hard and have this, like, fitness program that was, like, based on your ability to climb a rope to the very top of the gym.
Oh, great.
As if that's a fucking safe thing to do.
No, we'll catch you. For real.
We got these mats down. Like, oh, this look like not safe at all either. Okay, great.
Very little meat in these gym mats.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That was the year that I was discovered to have asthma. Apparently scoliosis. I don't know that I actually have it, but they took a look at my spine and went, oh, dude, you got it. And then I went to a doctor, and they were like, yep, but it's never, like, not a, is that something supposed to happen if you have scoliosis? Because I've been fine.
I think there are levels of scoliosis, and I am by no means a medical expert at this, but based on...
Dr. Navarro, tell me...
Based on my extremely limited knowledge, I believe that it is possible to have scoliosis and not have it be so degenerative that it totally fucks you up.
Yeah.
But it's not good to have any way you slice it, but I think there is a high-functioning version of it.
Yeah, I don't know. They had everyone, like, stand in a row and look down, and then they just felt everyone's spine and went, oh, yeah, and that was it, and nothing ever came of it. But then that meant that I got to write book reports about the history of volleyball instead of do PE, and that was better.
And how was the history of volleyball?
That sucked. I didn't want to do that either.
Yeah. I feel like that's the thing you do if you want to get into, like, sports broadcasting. There's a lot of history reports on sports.
Yeah, well, look at me now.
Yep. Esports, baby.
That's me. No, that school sucked. I don't know. We were bored. We tried to snort pixie sticks once.
Oh, every kid did that.
Yeah. I had an art teacher that was a weirdo, and that was all right. The band teacher was real cool. I was in jazz band those 2 years.
I was in jazz band in high school. My jazz band teacher was not that cool.
So I had to get out of band in high school because the teacher was such a fucking prick. That he drove me away from music.
Damn. You should just send him a copy of, like, all the Midnight Brown albums with a, you know, just, like, fucking sharpied on middle finger. Look at me now!
Look at me now, man! Yeah, I don't know that he is still with us.
Yeah, fair enough. Just leave them on his grave.
Right, yeah. Man, fuck that dude. What the fuck? Like, they ran a marching band that again, like, had won awards and shit. So it was, like, super regimented, like, oh, this is a marching band, this is where all my attention goes. you aren't good enough to play the marching band, so fuck you. When in reality, it was just that I didn't know how to fucking march, and they didn't feel like teaching people, so that was cool.
They tried to get me to play snare in a marching band, and they ran into the exact same problem that I had in jazz band, which is that I cannot read music.
Oh, yeah.
And you kind of have to be able to do that. Also, I was about as coordinated as a man with one leg.
So drumming while walking?
Not really. Not so much. I will say the teacher was not, like, really preferable one way or the other. Like, he did both marching band and jazz and seemed to take both equally seriously. He just wasn't a particularly good instructor.
Yeah. No, that guy was, yeah, I stopped going to that class. I just started cutting my band class every day for the rest of that school year. I didn't even bother dropping the class until, like, the last week of school. They're like, you're going to get, like, a really bad fucking report card. And I was like, oh, then I guess I'll drop it. I'm like, okay, done.
I think I learned a grand total of 3 songs the entire time I was in 10th grade jazz band because... So there was a guy in the class who was, like, a teacher's aide, and he played drums.
Mm.
And the only other drummer in the class besides me and him was this other, I think it was that Eli dude from 26 Miles Per Hour.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And he did not really fit well with jazz band because he just wanted to double bass everything.
Yeah, of course. As the drummer for 26 Miles Per Hour may
yes.
do. Yeah.
And I couldn't read music, so I could only learn songs from recordings, which they did not have good recordings of most of the stuff we wanted to play.
Mm.
So I would have had to seek that out on my own, and I was not going to do that. So basically, they just let the teacher say, play most of it, and then I would play, like, a few songs, and then the rest of the time I would just sit there.
Cool.
It was really great. Very instructive experience.
Yeah, sounds fun. Sounds like a good way to get better at playing music.
Yes.
Than how I feel about the whole, like, you know, keeping music in the schools stuff. I guess I'm all for it, but when I think about my experience in high school and how negative it was...
Yeah. I just think the standards for it are so all over the place, and, like, again, if you get an instructor that isn't really invested in, like, teaching you
yeah.
how to be better, then you kind of don't get anything out of it other than, like, easy credits.
Right.
Like, if you already play an instrument and you just get there and they're just like, okay, well, you can play this, so here's the music, fucking do it. Like, that's not really instruction. That's just like, well, you're already talented, so you're just bolstering our band.
Right, yeah. And we're going to use that to go win some award.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what high school's about.
Like, I learned jack shit in music classes in school.
I mean, the thing for me is, like, I learned a lot in junior high because
right.
that teacher was great and... Like, I learned how to read music. I learned how to read music in, like, fifth grade, like, mostly. And then, but, like, then I was kind of improvising on scales and stuff like that. And
right.
Kind of, like, learning how to actually play. And then, I don't know, like, I think the sax is kind of boring. Like, I played it, and it was fine for the time, but, like, it is not for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like I learned just enough music theory and kind of picked up an ear a little bit, not great but not terrible,
yeah,
that then enabled me to write a lot of music, like, relatively easily. Not to say it's, like, amazing or anything like that, but
yeah.
I can plot some fucking drums and some fucking bass lines and whatever, and then what more do you need, really?
No, that's it.
You got those two things done. They call it drum and bass for a reason.
Mm-hmm. And as the originator of the drum and bass genre.
That's me, yeah. They call me Dave and Busters. Drum and bass, DB.
It's because you're also a successful amusements and restaurateur.
Yeah, I am, yeah. If you want to play Cruising USA...
You're the man to see.
Yeah, come see me. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is just something to, like, the idea of teaching people music just enough to, like, hey, maybe this is something you'd be into. But the school is not the place for you to really...
Yeah.
Like, unless you want to play classical music or whatever the fuck.
I mean, I will say the thing with kids is that they're so fickle.
Sure.
That a certain amount of, you have to do this, is kind of, I think, is actually beneficial. Like, because the number of kids I knew who were actually into the idea of learning things on their own time...
Right.
...was greatly dwarfed by the number of kids who just wanted to fuck off in their own time.
Yeah.
So, I think there's some merit to the idea of music instruction and things like that in, you know, a more rigid school environment, but... I don't know, I think maybe the way we go about it is kind of haphazard now.
Yeah, I guess so. I think there's value in exposing people to that sort of stuff, if nothing else, just to be like, hey, maybe you have a fucking real knack for this shit and should go start a band. I just thought, like, I don't know, this is the part where I fucking, like, feel a little old. Do people start bands anymore?
Yes.
I mean kids. I mean, do the kids...
Yes, not with the frequency that maybe they did throughout the 90s.
Right, because I feel like fucking there were just people who were in six bands once through the mid-90s and stuff like that. It was just like...
No, those kids are out there. They're just not... I don't know. I feel like because of the way that genres have evolved... You'll find more kids learning to fuck around with sequencers and synthesizers.
Sure, yeah,
and stuff
I guess that's the thing. Yeah.
Now versus, like, just starting, like, a fucking garage band.
Right. And I guess that's actually cool, because that's how I picked up most of that stuff, is we went from just fucking looping beats and Kool Edit Pro.
Yep.
To...
fucking Fruity Loops.
Yeah, to Fruity Loops, to, like, learning all that shit. And that's still what I prefer to use. I guess maybe it is just a genre-based thing.
I was definitely at a show sometime in the last couple of years where the opening band was people who, if they were not teenagers, they looked like they had very recently been them.
Yeah.
And that was encouraging, but again, you don't see a lot of that anymore.
Yeah, for me, it's like I just drive past the Phoenix all the time and never see local bands on the bill.
It's just like... It feels like they're there out of pity more than anything else.
Or like I'm seeing, like, here's an article on Schizo, which is apparently still together. And I'm like, fuck you. Fucking who cares?
Wasn't Schizo just Lance?
I don't know.
I think Schizo is just the dude, and Lance.
He had, like, a handful of people in the picture with it,
yeah.
So there was something, but... Yeah, I don't know. Like, I like that idea of people playing shows.
Yeah.
And that's...
I mean, that was the thing...
I guess there's a whole scene... Obviously, like, electronic music is like, 100% that. And, like, all the... Was it the SPF 420? All the, like, weird fucking tiny chat concerts and all that cool shit. I think that whole thing, when that was happening... And I think it's kind of progressed past that or whatever. But, like, that was just cool as shit.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, anything that gets people to think creatively and fuck around with that stuff, and I think, you know, having less barriers to being able to perform that stuff in front of people is a good thing. Like, as much as I loved growing up around the Phoenix and all the various local bands of wildly varying quality over the years, you know, you still had to book shows at the place, you still had to try and get an audience out there, whereas now, with the internet, you can more or less just broadcast to whoever you want,
right.
Whenever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying there's no need to tour, but I feel like the old sort of, like...
But yeah, yeah. But also, like, that's, you know, building any kind of audience on the internet is, like, starting from zero.
Right.
It's really fucking hard.
It is. You gotta get the teens to find you on Instagram.
Yeah. But if, you know, hey, if you're playing local shows around a scene...
Right. You can get some word of mouth.
You can get, you know, there will be people skating and hating you while you play.
Yes.
You will at least have that.
I cherish that experience more than anything.
Yeah, it won't be much more than an attended practice, but hey.
Yeah, even like the shows I wasn't playing, like I still, like, just going to shows there regularly got me to take music much more seriously. Like,
yeah.
Even before I started joining bands, like...
Even for as much as I, like, fucking had disdain for a lot of the people that were taking shit way too seriously in and around that thing, like, it was... I still enjoyed a lot of that time.
Yeah. keep meaning to pop into the Phoenix again just to say hey to Tom.
Yeah.
Which I haven't been able to do it the last few times I've been here. You still doing that podcast?
I don't know.
I feel like I used to see Facebook posts about it semi-regularly, and then I just stopped reading Facebook, so I don't know if they still do it or not.
I don't know. I got a, like, you know, Ross?
Yeah.
He said, hey, you should totally be on this podcast. And I wrote back and said, I would love to. But then I think he's not actually affiliated with the podcast. He just was saying I should be on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
It's well, Tom what? And, like, one other guy, I think, that mostly are in charge of that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know who the other guy is, though.
Yeah.
I listened to a couple episodes of it. That thing seemed pretty okay for what it was.
Cool. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Like, I just had a weird... Yeah.
You had a somewhat adversarial relationship with the Phoenix and its crowd, and...
That was half the fun.
Yeah.
But also, like, I just had a weird, like... Yeah, I don't know. It was, those bands hated us so much, and
right.
I loved that so much.
Yeah.
It was always so depressing that, like, Glenn and Dom were, like, so into the idea of, like, wanting to be liked by that crowd. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, we should be shoving it down their fucking throats that we are playing all these shows and that you guys are hustlers who know how to get fucking shows booked and all this other stuff, like...
I mean, they were scene kids in a way that you weren't.
Totally.
And I think that coming from those scenes, like, they wanted that respect on some level, even if it, you know, it was completely unreasonable to expect it from
yeah.
a bunch of fucking gutter punks from Sonoma.
For me, it was more of a, you know, if you punch through all that bullshit on your own terms, then maybe they'll respect you at the end of it.
Yeah.
But...
In the end, no, they didn't, but...
No. Well, I don't know. I feel like... Brendan and I enjoyed a certain level of success with that crowd that they never did.
Yeah.
Well, Dom, obviously, you know, Dom was in his other bands and all that other stuff. Like,
but he never did it with that band.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think, if anything, they admired the fact that you guys were so committed to not giving a fuck.
We were right there with them. We hated the band more than they did.
They could sense that. Yeah, I was just happy to be there.
Yeah, no, that's you got a place to bring your drums.
Mm-hmm. Excuse to get out of the house.
I also just always felt weirdly out of place around that place because, like, I was, like, working this weird, relatively well-paying for my age job and all this other stuff. Like, it was just this weird, I had this weird guilt about it, in a sense.
I mean, if you took the overall aesthetic of... the people who played and hung out there at face value, I could see that because, yeah, there was definitely, like, some animosity toward the whole idea of success and selling out and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Whether that was through music or not.
Oh, yeah.
But in reality, I think a lot of that stuff was just kind of, you know, jealousy manifested in various ways.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of the kids that hung out there, like, came from fairly rough backgrounds.
Totally, yeah.
You know, they hung out there because they kind of didn't have anywhere else to go.
Yes, I feel like I fell in with some, at least somewhat, rough crowds over the years.
Yeah.
Partially due to that local band scene.
I mean, it's a thing that I had a real hang-up about, too, because, you know, I came from a very okay middle-class family that, apart from a bitter divorce, did not have a whole lot of real... a lot of issues around it, so I never fully fit in with some of those kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they were very much, like, suspect of people who did not come from similar backgrounds, but, mm-hmm. you know, over time, I got on well enough with them, and I think I kind of I don't know, I guess earn my stripes just by, you know, hanging around long enough, but...
Getting in just enough fights.
Exactly. Yeah, fighting the right people enough times, you find they were finally, alright, you're okay. And, you know, kind of once Tom sort of vouches for you, most people tend to back off.
Sure, yeah. I guess there's wrestling there a little more frequently than there used to be.
It used to be once a month, wasn't it?
Maybe it is just still once a month.
Okay.
But I feel like I see stuff about wrestling happening there more than it used to.
I think it's one of the things that does best for them right now. Like, it drinks in consistent crowds.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know where they're pulling their talent from. I assume just, like, random indie feds.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of people just from all over. I think some of the Hood Slam guys that are, you know, working video game gimmicks in Oakland then come up here under their whatever their regular indie thing is. APW guys or whatever. I finally watched World War III 1997.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It's not a good show.
No.
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 It's not a very good show.
No, it is not.
I also watched Halloween Havoc 1997, the pay-per-view preceding that one.
I feel like that show was a little bit better.
Well, you know, like, look, if you want to see good, solid matches between Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio Jr., those shows have two pretty good ones.
Okay.
I think they're both on both those shows against each other.
There's definitely Rey Mysterio matches.
Man, though,
the World War III match is maybe one of the most ill-conceived things that has ever been in wrestling.
It's really great listening to them try to call it, because they're like, in ring one, we got to... No, that's ring two. No, in ring two, we got to... Like, they can't get any of that straight.
Yeah. Like, they clearly didn't put enough forethought into it to, like, know how to present it. And then they never bothered to try in any of the subsequent years after that either.
I like the idea of the match, how it was in, because I just love, like, battle royales of that nature.
Yes, and the fact that they had such a large and stupid roster.
Yeah. Like, 60 people in three rings. Like, all right, sure, that's fucking ridiculous. Let's do it. Dusty, you're a genius. But yeah, like, that match was at the height of, like, NWO kind of wearing out its welcome, I think. Or it was right about them. Like, I look at it now. Maybe I didn't feel that way at the time, but looking at it now, it's like, oh, this is awful.
Yeah, so I read Brandon Stroud's Best and Worst of Nitro in various WCW pay-per-views that he does, and that has been a good enough way to re-experience what I had almost completely forgotten, which is that, yes, like, roughly a year after the NWO debuted, they had become so trite and so, like, just the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they just couldn't ever exist without putting stuff over on everyone.
Yeah.
They were always winning, no matter what.
Yeah, and that's the craziest thing about that World War III, like, the main, is that, like, there's six NWO guys in it, and they all come out last, and they're all in the same ring, except Nash doesn't come out. So only five of them come out, so there's only 59 people in the event. And so it gets down to a point where it's just all NWO guys left in one of the rings, and then it's, like, fucking... The Giant and DDP and, like, maybe, like, Luger and a couple other guys. And so they're kind of going at it, and it gets down to, like, just, like, it's just Scott Hall, DDP, and the Giant, who is not NWO at the time. And then Scott Hall does the fucking double fucking point. And you think, like, oh, this is Nash. Like, Nash is supposed to be in this event. He didn't show. And then fucking... they start playing the NWO music. And it just plays for a while. And people are like, oh, this has got to be Kevin Nash. You know, today's freaking out. And then the music stops. And then the NWO music starts again. And then at one point, Shivani goes, wait, that's Hogan's music! But it's the same, it's all... And Hogan walks out.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is that Hogan didn't have separate music until they gave him Voodoo Child.
Right, yeah. And, like, I don't know what the fuck, like, if it was a blown cue, or maybe there was some subtle difference in the fucking, like, number of two sweets that were yelled during the song. But it was just fucking, like, that part was real dumb. And then they fucking...
But Hogan's not in the match, right?
Hogan is in the match.
Oh.
And then they're fighting, and then Sting drops from the rafters with a bat.
But is it NWO Sting?
So, no.
It's Sting.
No. Fucking Sting drops from the rafters with the bat, fucking points it at Hogan. Hogan jumps out of the ring, eliminating himself. And then it looks like he's going to go fucking hit Scott Hall, and he turns on DDP, I think, was last at that point, or the Giant, whichever one. And fucking beats him with the bat, and they roll him out of the ring. Because it's not an over-the-top rope. It's any foot on the floor.
Any exit.
And it's just Nash under a Sting mask. And, like, as he's dropping, you're like, that's way too big to be Sting.
Right.
That's not also not Sting's hair.
Like, of all the people you could do that with, why would you do that with Nash?
Why would you do that with Nash?
He's 7 feet tall.
Exactly. And then they all get back in the ring, and they're like, oh, yeah, we fucking gotcha. It's just like...
No, you didn't.
Like, fucking...
You got no one. God.
And next up for me on the pay-per-views of 97 list, which I did not watch the full year. I just watched those two. But Stargate is after that, and that's the Hogan Sting match.
I remember that being okay. Like, not the blow-off anyone wanted, sure. But by that point, everyone would just take whatever they could get.
I guess, yeah. But man, that stuff was...
Most of the Hogan-era NWO matches were awful, just top to bottom.
And it's like fucking Mongo wrestling Alex Wright with Deborah in his corner because they're trying to get his Super Bowl ring because she's divorced from him now and feels like she is owed the ring. And Goldberg comes out and fucking... Fucks up Mongo. I don't know. It's just like so much of the mid card is nonsense.
Yeah, like, if it wasn't the cruiserweight. So yeah, it was probably trash.
Yeah, and it's I want to start a Tumblr. Actually, I don't want to start a Tumblr. I want to submit images to a Tumblr devoted to pictures of people in wrestling crowds.
I think that Tumblr exists.
It must. It has to, right?
Yes. I'm 99% sure that Tumblr exists.
Because that's my Instagram has just become me taking pictures of people holding NWO signs and wearing NWO shirts and how fucking insane they look. I watched that, they put up that, it's like the authentic untold story of ECW.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet.
It's like a 45-minute thing. Yeah. It's like, it's interesting, it's not long enough to be good. Like, they kind of just get going, and then you're like, man, there should be more people here for this, or give each one of these people time to tell more stories. Because it's like, it's Heyman, Dreamer, the Dudleys, and Taz.
Which, I mean, those are people you want to hear from.
Totally.
But they are not the totality of who you want to hear from.
And, like, most of them were integral to a lot of the behind-the-scenes, like, you know, business running of that thing.
Right.
Like, you know, they get into, like, oh, Taz made all the t-shirts. Like, he drew all the art. Like, he was the artist. He kept us alive. And, you know, fucking Bubba was running the real business of a lot of that stuff. While also, you know, main eventing. And, you know, Dreamer was Paul's right-hand man. And then Devon's there.
Right.
Also. And they get into, like, yeah, Heyman's a scumbag. Like, he would fucking watch you check your voicemail on your phone and then say, hey, can I check my voicemail? And then he would just memorize your voicemail code. And then check your voicemail all the time.
To make sure that other companies weren't coming calling.
Yeah. Like, one of the stories they tell is, like, getting those people together around a table. And then he calls into Todd Gordon's, like, voicemail or something, or Kevin Sullivan's or someone, whoever it was, and says, and it's all messages about going to WCW. It's like, okay, Now you guys need to help me run this business.
Now, you know, it was war.
Oh, yeah, totally. Whatever, you know, like...
Everyone in wrestling promotion was a dirtbag back then, especially now, honestly.
Yeah, now, but like still.
But especially then.
Yes. But, yeah, they're interesting stories. But, like, it's one of those things where there's, like, four good stories on that thing, and it's over. And you're like, man, I guess it's good that Corey Graves was here to guide this discussion, but also, like...
But there's just such a, like, there's so many different good, insane stories to come out of that company that, like, right. That feels like that barely scratches it. Like, is Rob Van Dam featured at all?
No, no. It's just those guys.
Yeah. Like, I want to hear from that dude. I want to hear from fucking Shane Douglas.
Yeah, I want to hear a lot from Shane Douglas.
Totally.
Like...
I want them to just bring New Jack in for 5 minutes.
I want them to, and they probably never would, but I want them to talk about mass transit.
Totally. But that's the thing, though, is that they could, because WWE is not responsible for any of that.
Oh, yeah, you know, and those lawsuits are long settled.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, like, a thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, yeah, I just, the stories they tell are more like just funny goofball, like, oh man, this was some crazy times. I mean,
it's almost like that dinner show that they do.
It plays like that dinner show without them eating dinner.
Yeah.
Should we try and record a wrestling podcast while you're out here? I don't know that we're gonna have time.
That's the thing. We're not gonna have a lot of time, and I have barely watched anything.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have stopped watching just about everything current.
That's kind of where I'm at right now, is I still have my New Japan subscription. Yeah. I'm thinking about canceling the network because I just don't use it hardly ever anymore. Yeah. Like, I occasionally watch NXT, but that's about it. What I've seen of SmackDown of late seems better, but I just don't care enough about that roster for the most part. And Raw, what I have tried to watch, has mostly been terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have the time or the wherewithal to continue watching bad wrestling, especially with there's so much of it.
Yeah, it's become, like, I feel like it's gone from second screen to third screen to now, like,
Now I'll watch the clips on YouTube the next day if there's something meaningful that happened.
Like, I was out of town when the last pay-per-view happened, and there was part of me that was like, oh, man, it'd be cool to... I saw some NXT the night before. Seem to remember, like, I would like to see that Asuka Mickey James match.
Yeah, it was good. Like, it was not the best takeover, but it was a good show.
Mm. But I just don't care.
I think once Nakamura and, I'm guessing, eventually Bobby Roode will be called up, then I feel like I will have very little reason to continue watching that show.
I kind of want to see what 205 Live ends up looking like, because I feel like
they
have fucked this cruiserweight magic they had into the dirt so bad. And that was TJ Perkins?
Yes.
He is the worst.
Could not have picked the worst people to, like, build that division around.
I saw bits and pieces, or I saw most of that storyline with him and Brian Kendrick.
And I love Brian Kendrick, like, that dude.
I think he's got a good character that is, like, also, I think it's a little thin.
He's doing the best work he can with a bunch of people around him that are just not that interesting. Like, I like
TJ Perkins, like, the video game thing, just, I fucking hate it. Everything about it.
There was a story going around that his first shirt is going to be a Hot Topic exclusive, and God, if that is just the most perfect fit for
Of course.
But it's like, I like Rich Swann, but they haven't done a whole lot with him.
Yeah.
Other than, oh, he's so fun to watch!
Yeah.
Which is just the most, like, this announcer has no idea what to say about this person, so here you go.
It's like...
I like Cedric Alexander, but they haven't done much with him either. Mm-hmm. Like, Dar and fucking Gulak are, like, I don't know, they just seem like... empty nothings of personality.
Yeah, like all the goodwill they built with the Cruiserweight Classic, is just like they pissed it away in record time.
Yep, like within 2 weeks, it was just done. It's a shame because there's other people involved in it. Like, you know, Jack Gallagher is going to be on that 205 show, and it sounds like a few other people that, like, aren't regularly on Raw are going to be on there.
So, you know, that's the thing. Is like, maybe when they get that show where it's, like, all about spotlighting that, maybe they fucking can write their way out of this fucking nightmare.
I hope so. Because I still think that, that whole thing is an admirable goal.
Yeah.
But man.
And I think, like, introducing new shows for their internet thing is probably a good thing for them to do.
Totally.
Like, having another place for NXT people to go that is not just fucking dying on the main roster.
Yep.
Because it's pretty clear that that fucking pipeline sucks. Yeah, you like these guys on the internet, huh? Well, you'll hate them on Monday nights when we fucking...
We're going to change the ropes out.
We have to fucking
try... So you know this isn't part of the real show.
We've got to try to market this to a much wider audience. But hey, not that much wider these days.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm just kind of done with WWE for the most part. Like, I'll give 205 a shot, but...
Yeah, I'll give that a shot, and I will see you at the Royal Rumble. That's pretty much...
Yes, I will watch the Royal Rumble. But at this point, I'm frankly much more looking forward to Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. Do you know where that's headed in terms of matches or anything yet? Have they started building towards
some of it, yeah. Omega versus Okada is the main event.
All right.
He successfully ran the gauntlet of people that were challenging for his briefcase, so he's going for the title. And I think it's Tanahashi and, who's the Intercontinental Champion right now? I can't remember, but Tanahashi, or I think he's the Intercontinental Champion, someone's challenging for that. But that looked like a good matchup, and their undercard is usually pretty strong. Like, they're... Most of the good people that have been there for a while are all involved in stuff right now, so...
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've only watched that the last 2 years, and that has been a fucking good time both times.
Totally.
So...
Especially now that they have the service, and you can just watch the archive at a normal hour the next night,
right.
As opposed to trying to watch it live at 3 in the morning.
All right.
Yep.
I'll see you in the morning.
Indeed.
And see all you people...